All right, let's call to order this meeting of the Public Works Capital Projects and Transportation Committee on October 7th, 2024, 6 p.m. And Clerk Tierney, if you would begin with the roll call, please.
Chair Nolan?
Here.
Deputy Chair Litz?
Here.
Legislator Donaldson?
Here.
Legislator Kovacs?
Here.
Legislator McCullough?
Here.
Your form.
Excellent. Has everyone had a chance to look at the minutes for the September 9th meeting? Is there a motion? A motion to accept the minutes from Legislator McCullough. Is there a second? Legislator Litz? Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. The resolutions. For the October 15th legislative session, resolution number 509, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a lease agreement with Children's Home of Gibson for space at 368 Broadway, City of Kingston, Department of Public Works, Building and Grounds. And I'd like to call to your attention that there were some difficulties with the amounts of the monies that were not addressed at public health, the Health and Human Services and Housing meeting, but we can address here. So you have in front of you an amended version of Resolution 509 with amends on the first page, the last whereas, the five-year term beginning November 1st and ending October 31st instead of other dates, and the changes in the budgeted revenue dollars and anticipated revenue dollars for the first partial year of the contract and the subsequent years. So I'd like to ask you to make motions to adopt resolutions rather than to just discuss, and that we would work on that basis unless somebody needs to discuss something.
I'll make a motion for adoption of the amended Resolution 509.
As presented?
As presented.
Is there a second? Second by Legislator Donaldson. Is there discussion? This is to bring the Children's Home of Poughkeepsie to the 368 Broadway and as part of the emergency center. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Passes unanimously. Resolution number 530, establishing capital project number 710, Sheriff's Office Oracle Training Trailer Purchase, amending the 2024 Capital Fund Budget, Ulster County Sheriff. This would be $45,000 for a new trailer to replace the used trailer that has gotten a lot of use and is partially funded with New York State money through narcotic addiction funds. Is there a motion?
I'll move it for adoption.
Is there a second? Seconded by Legislator McCullough. Any discussion?
Aye.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Passes unanimously. Resolution number 531, establishing capital project number 707, purchase and acquisition of real property located at 9 and 15 Joyce Lane in the City of Kingston for the purpose of office space, amending the 2024 Capital Fund Budget, Department of Public Works, Buildings and Grounds. And this would be office space for the office of the district attorney. Is there a motion?
Motion to adopt.
Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Legislator Kovacs. I would like to say about this that the there is some discussion about the appraisals that have come in on this that will probably come forward at Ways and Means. There is the accepted, there is the offer price and the accepted offer. So I think it's fine for us to go ahead and move this forward if the committee is ready to do that. And this resolution also includes the seeker determination on this, I would like to say. Any thoughts on that?
What was the issue with the appraisal?
Director, Deputy Executive LeBeau?
Currently, it is slightly lower than the accepted offer price. However, we're looking and in discussions with our real estate agent, with the appraiser, because we feel that our offer was based on what we believe is a fair market value. So we're digging into that a little bit more and plan to have more information for ways and means.
So we had comparables from the county's real estate agent that were used to inform the offer.
What did the appraisal come in at?
The appraisal came in at 3.1.
Just under, 3.1 million.
Based on four comps, Kingston. However, again, we feel that there are questions about reductions that were made to those comparables in order to come up with that appraisal price per square foot that are significant. We're also looking at getting a better sense of the accepted offer price includes all the existing furniture in the building, which notably includes about 46, an open area with 46 desks with cube furniture, high walls, built-in glass panels, desks, et cetera, chairs, workstations. And so we're looking also to have a better estimate of the value of that kind of remaining as a building as part of the sale.
Also includes equipment in the server room, fully set up HVAC equipment, raised floor, racks, everything's going to be left.
And I think the appraiser didn't take that into consideration in terms of it being not just an office building, it's actually set up for a substantial amount of IT infrastructure, which we would have been interested in.
Any other questions?
Had another meeting. And it was said that the cubicles, that the furniture, the cubicles were already set up in a perfect way to be used. Yes.
I'll just chime in. I don't usually come to these meetings.
Thank you very much.
I think most of you know me. I'm Saja Ahmed. I'm the administrative ADA, and we work collaboratively with the county exec office on this. We are going to work through the appraisal issue, obviously, but I think that right now, and I believe the DA just called through all of the legislators, if anyone has follow-up questions about this resolution or anything else that we're working on, my phone number is always available to constituents, but especially the legislators. It is move-in ready. It is, the location that works for us better than any other. It's disappointing that this is part of it right now that we have to work through. On the other hand, I think that it is something that can be worked through. It's been very encouraging for the office to have this prospect and have the legislative support for it. So any other questions? I'm here. Happy to answer them.
Yeah, thank you. It's really an ideal location and has a lot of ideal features that may not have shown up in an appraiser who's just looking at it from a straight office space as opposed to this particular use and the IT aspect of it. So I feel quite comfortable when I first heard this price. It's a big number, but it's a very big building. And it does something that we haven't had in this county. So, but I do want you to be aware that there will be further discussion and there will be further information that comes forward as probably some back and forth with the appraiser about some of these issues. So I wanted to be transparent about that.
Question. So, with this, the entire staff of the district attorney's office will be in this one building?
The entire staff of the DA's office, the entire staff of Crime Victims Assistance Program, which it right now falls under probation. So those are the advocates that work with victims, and also the Family Child Advocacy Center, which is a joint, undertaking of DSS and the DA's office that employs both criminal investigators on the side, as well as child protective services, social workers, and the whole place. So both the Crime Victims Assistance Program is in an owned space by the county. The Family Child Advocacy Center is in a leased space on Harley Avenue, and we would be able to get out of that lease and house the Family Child Advocacy staff with us. And I don't know if this was explained to everyone, but there are two properties on the location. There's the huge office complex. Is anyone here familiar with the space? There's also a house. So our hope is that the house would be utilized as a trauma-informed space, predominantly for child victims. That's kind of how the Family Child Advocacy Center is set up now, where it kind of looks similar to a pediatrician's office. So that's kind of the hope, that, you know, staff could do those interviews in that space and have an actual designated office space away from that.
Could you also talk a little bit about the different entrances and exits of the building and how that's beneficial?
So I spoke on this resolution in Law Enforcement Committee last Wednesday. There is a safety component also that will help. I know I'm going to speak from my personal experience. I was assigned to domestic violence court in the city of Kingston for my first 2 years with the DA's office, and my physical office at that time was located in the Law Enforcement Center in the Sheriff's Office, and oftentimes I would meet with victims. One of the things I would explain to them in the paths of their case would be, well, the person that you're testifying against is currently housed in the jail or will be housed in the jail as part of their sentence, and that is a very difficult conversation to have with someone in any context, but especially when you want them to be able to testify for you. So that's something that we go through in the courthouse a lot. We just had it last week where, you know, a witness, it becomes aware that the person that's done something horrible is in the same space. So that removes that element entirely. The other thing is there's a safety issue where I don't think it was always like this in the courthouse, but especially during the construction phase, there was only one entrance and exit. So as these high-profile trials go on, the whole, you know, audience can see as ADAs and staff of the DA's office are going in and out, and that can create some discomfort. That discomfort can materialize, unfortunately, into threats and things of that nature. So that separation, I think, will be hugely beneficial. And again, I'm speaking very personally. I feel that personally when I see, you know, people that we prosecute and their loved ones that are here for something like a sentencing, and you know, you hope for the best, and we are very blessed to have amazing court officers in that space. But at the end of the day, I know that I would personally feel better if we were maybe not all watching each other's coming and going, for say, in the recording, but it's just part of what we go through.
Thank you. Legislator McCullough.
The sheriff does he have some of the space too, the sheriff's department?
The sheriff's department won't share space.
They don't have any offices in there?
No, they will gain the offices that we occupy right now, offices in the sheriff's office that we would vacate, and then they would gain that space for their detectives, because right now not all of their detectives have independent offices. So that's what went on at the Law Enforcement Committee meeting when you
Yes.
I'd like to add to this will eliminate two leases. It's the FCAC, which is Hurley Avenue, and the DA space at Citizens Bank, which is right next door to the courthouse.
Thank you. Yes, Legislator.
You'll be completely out of the courthouse then.
Yes, and I will turn it over to the Deputy County Exec. I think they have a plan for that space.
You know, that allows, again, like, reevaluation and then, you know, the next logical move. So right now we're evaluating things, but definitely what's, you know, one of the things that's on the table is to consider whether or not it makes sense to consolidate court functions into the courthouse, including service court, which is this building, and then allows us to make the subsequent moves in order to, again, you know, do renovations to buildings that need to be renovated and also appropriately place departments in certain locations.
Yeah, I know the judges have been very anxious to reclaim that area. I do think it's great to have all the DA's office in one building.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out the appraisal, but we can discuss it at Ways and Means. My only, not concern, but you consider this property to be walking distance to the courts?
It is a 7-minute brisk walk, but it is actually, when the county actually did a space study, it is within the radius that is walkable. Is it a bit longer from being in the same building? Absolutely. On the other hand, I think the benefits outweigh the additional steps, and, you know, you make it work. It's in the car, it's a minute. So, you know, and we do have that ability, but it's walkable.
Okay. So we didn't ask the appraiser to include that health benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. All right. Any other questions or concerns? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Passes unanimously. We'll move to resolution number 536, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Take care. Bye-bye.
To execute an agreement with the New York State Department of State for a legislative memo item for the new Government Operations Center Department of Public Works Buildings and Grounds. This is $40,000 to come to the county for radio equipment for the Government Operations Center funded through this memo item. Legislator Litz.
I will be abstaining from the vote, but also, can you remove me as a sponsor?
Yes. Didn't catch that this would catch you on the basis of employment.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Is there someone that would make a motion to adopt? Legislator McCullough. Was there a second?
Okay.
Legislator Kovacs. Any discussion on this? We'll take the money. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? And any abstentions? Legislator Litz for the purpose of employment. So resolution passes 4-0 on extensions. Resolution number 537, amending capital project number 585, bridge substructure repairs, amending the 2023 capital fund budget for construction of the Rosendale Bridge, Department of Public Works, Highways and Bridges. This is increasing the funding for that project by $75,000 and also includes a type 2 determination under SEAKER.
I'll move it for adoption.
Second. Seconded by Legislator Donaldson. Any questions or concerns? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 539, establishing capital project number 709, development court building roof replacement project, amending the 2024 capital fund budget, Department of Public Works, and this is replacing the roof, price of $2,500,000, and the new roof will allow solar. Is there a motion?
Motion.
Motion from Legislator Kovacs, second from Legislator Litz. Is there anything else that we want to say about this? There was some question about when this work would be done. It's going to stretch over some period of time, I guess. And originally it had been said that it was going to be planned to be done overnight, but now is going to be done during the day, or we're not sure, or...
So I don't think there was ever a firm decision about night work. However, that did get, I think, what had been a conversation with the town building inspector to get reported on in the paper.
Hmm.
But what I can say is that we're going to, there's some latitude that wasn't fit in the contract. We will certainly be discussing with the staff at DSS and also thinking about impacts to the neighborhood. But there are safety reasons for if there are cranes overhead, the disturbance to the roof can cause, you know, kind of dust and, you know, potentially, you know, other things to get into the air inside. So we want to make, we want to have a very clear kind of plan with the staff first at DSS and frankly, and clients who might be there to use services about how to accommodate that. And then you might just go along to the latitude that's in the contract as far as timing goes.
So we're allowed to work, or the vendor's allowed to work, rather, 2 hours before building hours, and building hours and 2 hours after. So we feel we can get a lot of the work, especially the demo work. We feel we can get a lot of the work done during those 4 extra hours
from the day, crane operations and stuff like that.
But we do have to be very careful about, and this is where we're going to have to look at which units of social services can perhaps work remotely for a period of time and then moving people within the building in order to kind of be strategic in kind of the disturbance to the workflow inside too. So
there'll be further discussion and planning in order to work that out.
And there's different. It's almost like separate roofs up there. There's 4 or 5 different sections of roofs that are, so it's going to be done in sections. It's going to be done.
To move people from various sections,
correct, one
at a time. Any other questions?
No. I got some calls from constituents. A woman has an 8-month-old baby, and she's, so please, if you can tell them not to do it at night, it'd be greatly appreciated.
No one wants to work at night, but the 2 hours before and 2 hours after the building hours, right, I think is what we're going to be looking at. But we do have to also balance that with
understandable
employees and also the public who needs to be served in the building. So,
that concern will be taken into account and or has been taken into account in this tentative schedule. 2 hours before would be 7 a.m., I guess, and 2 hours after would be 6 p.m.?
Or 2 hours before would be six, almost 5 or 6.
Wow.
Oh, they start that early?
Yeah, they do.
Oh,
especially
okay.
Roofers.
Uh-huh. Okay. I didn't think the DSS staff started that early. So 7 is when DSS is normally open?
Wow.
Yeah,
that's excellent.
It's the building hours.
The building hours. Yeah. I see. Okay. Well, it sounds like a reasonable plan to deal with very big construction that's very much needed and that allows for some very good things to happen there, including the solar installation as a separate project at a later point. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 541, approving the execution of a contract for $2,150,000 entered into by the County United Roofing and Sheet Metal, Inc., Department of Public Works. This is the contract for the work we just discussed. Is there a motion? Legislator McCullough, seconded by Legislator Litz. Any other questions, additional questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? That's passed unanimously. Resolution number 542, approving the execution of a contract amendment to $48,250,000, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000, entered into by the County Green and Peterson, Inc., Department of Public Works. Is there a motion? That's a motion by Legislator Kovacs, second by Legislator Donaldson. This is work that Legislator Kovacs has been in contact with DPW about, and DPW has been working on for quite some time to expand the scope of services at Ulster Landing to increase by almost 50,000 that project to address the roadway north and south of the bridge. And I assume that Legislator Litz will be an abstention on this vote because of employment.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions or concerns? Yes,
Legislator Litz. Well, I just want to say thank you to DPW for working on this project. It's the road is not doing great. And certainly appreciate it. It's a very important road for that part of the county.
Agreed. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Abstain.
Any abstentions?
Abstain.
Abstention looks like
it wasn't on the list.
Oh, okay. Yes, you have a question?
Yeah. No, he asked if I had to be removed from
good question.
The sponsor, and I do not appear as sponsor, so that works out well.
Oh, yes. Legislator Kovacs is the lead sponsor on this one, it turns out.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Somebody else gets credit for that. I would have endorsed it, but somebody clever did that.
Thank you.
Yes. And that resolution passes 4-0, one abstention. Resolution number 543, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $40,000, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000, entered into by the county with Town and County Bridge and Rail, Inc., Department of Public Works. This is increasing funding for repair of our disintegrating concrete on bridges and culverts.
I move for adoption.
Moved by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator McCullough. Any questions or concerns? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? That passes unanimously. There was a resolution number 507 amending the 24th Wellston County budget to reallocate unused funds for economic development, research, and strategy, sponsored by Legislator Hewitt, which was postponed in economic development. His proposal was to take money that has not been used, that was put in the budget for the parks director, and use it to look into hemp and how to bring industrial hemp to Ulster County from that vacant position. It's about $28,000. But there are other potential uses for that, and I think that some of that is already being reallocated. So we'll see. There'll be some further discussions before that resolution either comes forward or is withdrawn and comes back in another form. I don't have any new business. I do have some old business, but maybe we should mention the upcoming meetings. We will have a special meeting for department heads for budget discussions on October 29th at 2:30. That will be here in chambers. And October 29th at 4 p.m. following that will be the special joint meeting of Public Works and Ways and Means to discuss the 2025 Capital Improvement Program. That will also be in chambers. So on October 29th, put us in the schedule. Is there any new business? For old business, I wanted to mention that the Transit Riders and Multimodal Advisory Committee has not been established yet, and I have received calls and email messages about it. Very reasonably, people want to know what's happening with it. We had wanted to let the route optimization study move along, and I had questions about how we actually bring forward this committee since we didn't have sufficient number of applicants to fill all of the spaces that were specified in the legislation. That was Resolution 426 of 2023. So what we would like to do is I'll send out this week if this committee, unless somebody has better ideas, I'd like to send out an invitation to applicants for that committee to meet with myself and possibly with a potential legislative appointee who could be on this committee to discuss how to get the committee going, given the applicants that we do have. Legislator McCullough.
Chris Hood expressed to me that he would love to be one of the legislative
representatives on that.
Oh, that's great. The resolution calls for a majority party appointment and a minority party appointment, but the appointments don't have to be from those parties. So if either Legislator Kovacs or Legislator Litz would take it to your caucus in terms of whether you have an appointment from your caucus, which would be great. I am willing to serve on this committee, and so it could be Legislator Hewitt and myself, if that's what the minority caucus would like, or if there is somebody else, I'd be happy to have Legislator Hewitt be appointed to work with this group. And I think that that will address the questions that have been coming to me. What we have is we have, how many?
We have 9 applicants as of today. So we just got 2 quorum today, actually.
Two more came in. So 9 plus 2 legislators would be 11, but there's 13 positions.
Yes, and there are 7 at-large members. There are 4 members representing a community or philanthropic organization, and there are 2 legislative appointments.
It's a huge committee, by the way.
Yes, there were concerns raised by the minority caucus about the size of the committee at the time that this legislation passed, and it passed without support of that caucus. So one of the things that we could do is write a new resolution and form a symbolic committee. But I don't want to do that without meeting with the people who submitted their applications for the for the committee as initially advertised. I think it would be possible to have a smaller, less formally appointed committee. That is, to have people appointed without necessarily filling certain slots. The other thing we need to do is let 2 of the people come from organizations and could be organizational members, but to do that, they would need to submit a letter from their organization specifying that that organization wants them as a representative. I think both organizations in this case would, but we didn't get that word to those appointees. And so we will try to work all that out so that we could move forward in December with putting in names for appointees if that's the way people want, and then we could, at our leisure, I think, then change the structure of the committee using the people that are already showing up and expressing their concerns. The root optimization study has taken a little longer than expected. Part of that is that the public comment period had very robust public participation. In fact, the most robust public participation ever, with over 800 comments.
Yes. If I may, Chair.
Yes, please.
What we did was we did a survey. So I wouldn't call a survey necessarily a public comment period yet, because we don't have recommendations.
Thank you for the direction.
Yeah, we're working through high-level recommendations now. Those high-level recommendations will probably go out to public comment, I would say. I'd like to say by the end of this month, but I think it's more realistic by the first, sometime or early November, that would be out. And then that's literally going to take a look at very, very high recommendations in terms of where routes are, scenarios are available to us, what the anticipated cost of those scenarios are, et cetera. And then from that, we just take another look at the routes themselves, recognizing the fact that for us to change routes, we have to do some work relative to making sure the FTA is on board. We have to do notification work. The legislature has its own resolution with respect to requiring notification. We would anticipate that this is a phased implementation approach. That phasing will take place over a number of years, not months. And looking at that, understanding that some of the scenarios we're talking about are scenarios that change how service is delivered in terms of timing. I think of it this way. The 2 things that you fight with respect to transit are the difficulty between the amount of coverage you have versus the time it takes to achieve that coverage. The thought that we're looking at now is that we may end up looking at time of coverage with the sense that we're going to provide additional bus service during peak hours. And if you think about that, that means that A, you need more drivers, and B, you need more buses because you have more buses on the road. But what it does redo, it reduces headways and allows those headways to creep down from where they are now at over an hour and change in some urbanized areas. And everyone, I think, that has been involved from the original discussion about this in terms of where we are now have indicated that that's just not an acceptable thing that we want to move going forward. And so we're
looking. Can you just describe what a headway is so that?
Basically the time between buses on mm-hmm. routes. So, you know, in Kingston, because of where we travel and how we travel, those headways are an hour, if not more, in some locations. And we're trying to see how we can reduce those. I would also say that the county did put in with the legislator's approval, a grant for microtransit. So we looked at that microtransit area in conjunction with where we think we are from a high level on some of the route changes and how that microtransit fill in and look at those areas that may be served by fixed routes but not served adequately. They don't go into some of the neighborhoods. Also, that grant was prioritized for areas that are disadvantaged communities. The disadvantaged communities in Ulster County are the city of Kingston, village of New Paltz, and the village of Allenville. So that microtransit also provided that. We also just completed, if you're not aware of it, the Transportation Council is required to complete something called a Coordinated Transportation, Human Services Transportation Plan. That literally is providing service to people that have disabilities or are aged over 65. Public outreach for that showed a great deal of need for transit service that actually runs out of the county. Southern Ulster County, there's a lot of demand. I shouldn't say a lot of demand. There was requests, repeated requests from the stakeholders down there to run into Orange County. And there were repeated requests from Shandaken to actually run into Delaware County. We don't have operating authorities in some instances to do this, so we need additional operating authority. But microtransit may be a way to essentially provide some of that services on a limited per day basis. So think of it this way. If you have a bus that is servicing one area and it's servicing 3 days a week, can it serve another area 2 days a week? So microtransit is not available in the area every day, but it's available in various areas on a couple of days.
Thank you. Yes. That's very helpful. And I think if we're seeing some of that begin to be presented in the next month or two, that will be very welcome. You know, people have been wanting to get this information and begin massaging it, I guess, with you. And
yeah, and I think, you know, the other thing that's out here is the fact is you can do these routes, but if you don't have drivers and buses, you really are not going to be able to implement a solution. So the implementation of the solution now is constrained both on the driver side, but also on the available inventory of buses that can run. I mean, we're in the proximity of replacing buses, but not at the level of replacing buses that we need to replace them. And then some of the buses that we're replacing, some of the routes that we're running, we have situations where we can't meet the fleet. Actually, we're very difficult to meet the fleet optimization because of the fact that there's just not buses that electrification. I said optimization. I apologize. There's just not buses that meet that requirement. So on the microtransit side, trying to find microtransit buses that are all electric, they simply don't meet them as it stands right now.
Is there a role for the county perhaps working with economic development to get some kind of private operator that could use SUVs or things that the county might not be able to include in its fleet for some reason?
So we did do a challenge grant with NYSERDA. We work with a company called VIA. VIA is a very large software provider. They also provide turnkey services for transit. And we looked at whether or not we wanted to work with them again. And the answer has been so far is that we believe that the buses should be publicly operated and all. That does not preclude us from looking at other types of agreements, but as it stands right now, we will more than use up the dollars amounts that you've essentially given us with respect to the change in the occupancy tax in a very short fashion. Transit is a highly expensive operation, and adding $2 million is not a lot of money to add into a transit operation when we start thinking about the additional hours that you have to run. Now, you're currently running about 54,000 hours on an annualized basis. Add 25% to that, and you'll get a sense of what the hours that you need as a minimum to run some of the services that you're that is being looked at.
Helpful. Fundamental information. Thank you.
Yeah, that's what the level we're operating on right now is those high level numbers in terms of what it costs on an hourly basis to operate, how many hours of operations we need, what the services look like with those hours of operation, and what scenarios can we put together in terms of routing. The interesting thing from the consultant standpoint is that the routing work that's been done sort of verifies that where we're running is where we should run, with minimal changes of how we run there.
Any other perspectives? Legislator Litz.
When are the elevators going to be done?
One elevator that's being worked on right now will be tested and accepted, hopefully on Wednesday. Then shortly thereafter, they've actually ordered all the other equipment for the second elevator, and that should be done within a month.
Get faster.
So my next meeting, I'll be able to take the new elevator.
The other elevator won't take long because everything was done.
I hope not.
For this one.
Oh, you mean, the second one.
The second.
Because all the
controls.
Yep, for everything. That's all.
The electrical upgrades was done for the first one. It's a whole new camp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great.
And the stairwells have been in full operation the entire time.
Yep. Good thing.
And so have my knees.
Fair enough. Is there anything else that people would like to bring up as part of old business legislation?
Someone asked me if it's possible to get a list of the applicants for the transit advisory group.
Yes. We're in the process of putting that together. And we could send that out with the letter, I guess, or send out a...
Yeah, I could probably send out redacted copies. I'll talk to the clerk.
Yeah, I guess that would be the question, whether those who applied are implicitly giving us permission to tell other people that they've applied.
Of course.
We might need to wait until after we send out something and ask them if that's okay, if we list them.
Yes.
That would probably be the better
way. That makes sense.
All right. Seeing that we've covered the business of the meeting, is there
a motion for adjournment?
Is there a second?
One second.
Second, Legislator McCullough? Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, everyone.
Yes.
Aye.
And we'll have a few moments until we say goodbye to our online audience. Thank you for joining us.